I hope, since John here. And it's Pentecost. And it's just at the time of the easing of the lockdown. So let's think about change and let's think about our expectations of change. Let's start with the reading, which is just after Pentecost. The Pentecost story is in Acts 2. This reading comes from Acts 3. And there's a lame man there, sitting at the gate of the temple. He's been lame from birth, we believe, and he's looking for charity from two of the disciples, from Peter and John. Acts 3:5. So he looked at them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said to him, "I have no money at all. I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I order you, get up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and helped him up. At once the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up, stood on his feet and started walking around. Then he went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. The people there saw him walking and praising God, and when they recognized him as the beggar who had sat at the beautiful gate, they were all surprised and amazed at what had happened to him. Well, the guy in that story was expecting charity. He was expecting alms, to use the old word. But what he got was so much more. He was given a complete healing of his feet and ankles. He was given a sort of freedom, a full release from his old life. That just reflects God's generosity. There's an awful lot in this story, but let's concentrate on a few things. First, where did it happen? It happened at the temple. In Jewish tradition, we can think of the temple as where God lives. And the temple is so very important in biblical history. Think of the references to the temple in the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The temple was where you went to meet with God. It was his house. It was where he lived. Let's think of some of the Psalms. There's a well-known quote, Psalm 122, verse 1. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." So you can see that expectation again. I was glad because the writer expected good things. The crippled man expected alms. So he went to the temple. And on that day, his expectations were far more than satisfied. So what do we expect when we approach God, when we go to the temple? Psalm 84 also reflects this Jewish regard for the temple and what it meant to go into the temple, to meet with God. First, let's read Psalm 84 in the metrical psalms, right? Now, the metrical psalms are arranged so that they can be sung. So there is some poetry there. Now, I'm not going to sing it, I'll just read it. But just listen and let yourself imagine how much that temple meant. So, Psalm 84. "How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me. The tabernacles of thy grace, how pleasant, Lord, they be. My thirsty soul longs vehemently, yea, faints thy courts to see. My very heart and flesh cry out, O loving God, for thee. Behold, the sparrow findeth out an house wherein to rest. The swallow also for herself hath purchased a nest. Even thine own altars, where she safe her young ones forth may bring, O thou almighty Lord of hosts, who are my God and King. Blessed are they in thy house that dwell. They ever give thee praise. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, in whose heart are thy ways, who passing through Bacchus' vale, therein do dig up wells, also the rain that falleth down, the pool with water fills. So they form strength unwearied, so they from strength unwearied go, still forward unto strength, until in Zion they appear before the Lord at length. Lord God of hosts, my prayer hear, O Jacob's God, give ear. See God our shield, look on the face of thine anointed dear. For in thy courts one day excels a thousand, rather in my God's house will I keep door than dwell in tents of sin. For God the Lord's a sun and shield, he'll grace and glory give, and will withhold no good from them that uprightly do live. O thou that art the Lord of hosts, that man is truly blessed, who by assured confidence on thee alone doth rest. So that was the metrical psalm. Psalm 84 also works really well in the Passion translation, and the Passion gives it the title, My Soul Longs for the Courts of the Lord. God of heaven's armies, you find so much beauty in your people. They're like lovely sanctuaries of your presence. Deep within me are those lovesick longings, desires and daydreams of living in union with you. When I'm near you, my heart and my soul will sing and worship with my joyful songs of you, my true source and spring of life. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, even the sparrows and swallows are welcome to build a nest among your altars for the birds to raise their young. What pleasure fills those who live every day in your temple, enjoying you as they worship in your presence. Pause in his presence. How enriched are they who find their strength in the Lord. Within their hearts are the highways of holiness. Even when their paths wind through the dark valley of tears, they dig deep to find a pleasant pool where others only find pain. He gives to them a brook of blessing filled from the rain of an outpouring. They grow stronger and stronger with every step forward, and the God of all gods will appear before them in Zion. Hear my cry, O God of heaven's armies. God of Jacob, listen to my loving prayer. Pause in his presence. God, your wraparound presence is our defence. In your kindness, look upon the faces of your anointed ones. For just one day in intimacy with you is like a thousand days of joy rolled into one. I'd rather stand at the threshold in front of the Gate Beautiful, ready to go in and worship my God, than to live my life without you in the most beautiful palace of the wicked. For the Lord God is brighter than the brilliance of a sunrise. Wrapping himself around me like a shield, he is so generous with his gifts of grace and glory. Those who walk along his paths with integrity will never lack one thing they need, for he provides it all. O Lord of heaven's armies, what euphoria fills those who forever trust in you. So, in that psalm, you can see the idea that going into the temple was the physical action to create an intimacy with the Almighty God. And the expectation of entering the temple was that they would be able to communicate with God in a real way. So what are our expectations of intimacy? How much do we really think God can listen to us and speak to us? How much do we expect God to want to spend time with us? Or are we coming to prayer with the idea of, God, I know you're busy, but can you give me 5 minutes? Our expectations have got to recognise God's desire for us to enjoy his company. As the lockdown begins to relax here, we hear so much about people wanting to spend time together. That's perfectly right and proper. But let's grasp the fact that God wants to spend time with us. So let's go to that place where God lives and expect to be able to spend real quality time chatting with him. There's been a lot written on the idea of intimacy with God, so I'd suggest read some books on it. But even more, I'd suggest just do it. Just spend some time with God. Spend time in whatever works for you as a temple, wherever you can approach God. Approach him with an open heart and mind. Tell him your innermost thoughts and desires. Pour out to him your fears, anxieties, your hopes, aspirations, your high points and your low points. Read the Bible in his presence. Let him work in your heart and mind as you do so. Set your expectations high. God wants to communicate with you, because you are his child. There's an old book, The Pursuit of God, by A.W. Tozer, and he makes a good point about how to view the Bible when we're praying and meditating. The Bible is not an end in itself, but a means to bring men to an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God, that they may enter into him and that they may delight in his presence, may taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God himself in the core and centre of their hearts. It's a good quote. And did you catch that phrase that Tozer uses? Taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God himself. I love that idea of the inner sweetness of God. There's a lot in this about the temple. And what does the temple mean for us? In practical terms, we can think of entering the temple as whatever we do when we pray and meditate on God. It's not a physical place, although maybe you have a favourite place to pray. It's maybe connected with worship music you like to listen to. It might be a prayer ritual for some people, but it's all about approaching God. That's what the temple is. It's where we approach God. What do we do when we want to spend some quality time with our Heavenly Father? How do we ascend the hill of the Lord? How do we go to where God lives? So, what does this place that God lives look like? What should we expect about it? First, it's a very special place and we should treat it with respect. So, quote from Isaiah 57:15. I am the high and holy God who lives forever. I live in a high and holy place. But I also live with people who are humble and repentant, so that I can restore their confidence and hope. Good quote, that. And high and holy. Some versions have high and lofty. These two words are worth looking at. High and lofty. It's two of the shortest adjectives in Hebrew, according to a book I was reading. So high, the Hebrew word room, means raised, but it's act lofty, raised, you could say exalted, right? Lofty, Hebrew, nasa, means to lift, to carry. Once again, it's an active word. So both these things are active. They carry the suggestion that we can go up to meet the Lord. So we can prepare ourselves. Once again, this includes preparing our expectations. We should be humble and repentant, and we should expect God to restore our confidence and hope. There's three pairs of words in that quote. God's high and holy place, our humble and repentant attitude, and God restoring our confidence and hope. It builds some sort of word picture. What do we expect about meeting with God? Let's expect God to be happy to meet with us. And let us leave our niggles and burdens of the day at the door. Go right in, sit in that special place, this high and holy place, and sit there with the one God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. Let's realise that God wants us to meet with him in prayer and meditation. He draws us into intimacy. Drawing us towards him is how God always works. As Jesus says in John 6:44, people cannot come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and I will raise them to life on the last day. The prophets wrote, everyone will be taught by God. Anyone who hears the Father and learns from me, from him, comes to me. So in that quote, once again, it's talking about God drawing us to come close to him. It's God's desire that we spend time with him on a regular basis. We should expect it to be a good time, an important time, a time when we develop that relationship between him and us. As we prepare to spend time with God, our expectation should be of blessing, of restoration, of renewal, because that's in the very nature of our God. And we should expect to have joy when we meet with the Lord. Again, let's think of Psalm 84. For just one day of intimacy with you is like 1,000 days of joy rolled into one. I'd rather stand at the threshold in front of the Gate Beautiful, ready to go in and worship my God, than to live my life without you in the most beautiful palace of the wicked. So, let me just close with another quote from Tozer when talking about people wanting to get intimate with God. They will turn away with tears to hunt some lonely place and pray, O God, show me thy glory. They want to taste, to touch with their hearts, to see with their inner eye the wonder that is God. So let me wrap up with that. Let me just encourage you to spend time with God. Look for that intimacy. Set your expectation that God wants to spend time with you. God wants to bless you, because that's in his very nature. So thanks for listening, and stay safe. We'll see you soon.